Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. Jesus calls us to be his disciples, but what does that mean? Because discipleship means more than just learning something or learning about something. You can learn all there is to know about Jesus and still not be his disciple. There are lots of college professors that teach the Bible, but they don't believe what's written in it. Discipleship is to be trained to be or to do something. And even if you are not becoming a disciple of Jesus, that doesn't mean that you aren't going through the process of discipleship in other ways. How many of you are avid gamblers? No hands? Well, I'm not really that surprised. Of course, nobody raised their hand because gambling, we don't really think of that as a very positive thing. We look down on the idea, even if maybe we do some gambling every once in a while just for fun. But Dr. Tom Stafford, he's a lecturer at the University of Sheffield, and he co-authored a book called Mind Hacks. And he believes that the same fundamental mechanisms that drive gambling addicts are also at work in email users. Get this. He says both slot machines and email follow something called a variable interval reinforcement schedule, he says, which has been established as the way to train in the strongest habits. This means that rather than reward an action every time it is performed, you reward it sometimes, but not in a predictable way. So with email, usually when I check it, there is nothing interesting. But every so often, there's something wonderful, an invite out, or maybe some juicy gossip, and I get a reward. This is enough to make it difficult for us to resist checking email, even when we've only just looked. In other words, email companies are training us, making us their disciples, you might say, to check our email more often than we probably need to because we know, unpredictably, we might just get a reward. You're learning to do things in the way that these companies want you to do them. So then I was looking more into this, and I found an article on the Guardian website, and it gave some statistics to how this training or this discipleship actually affects our lives. It said it takes an average of 64 seconds to recover your train of thought after checking email. I don't know where they got that number. They did some kind of a study. But that means, they were saying, that if you check your email every 5 minutes throughout a day, you're going to lose 8.5 hours a week just getting back to what you were doing a moment before. But you might say, well, I don't check my email that often. Great. Except that Dr. Karen Renaud actually did a study that challenged this assertion. In one of her studies, she had a lot of respondents that said that they checked their email every 15 minutes. But when they actually watched them, they checked their email every 5 minutes. They just didn't realize it because it was no longer a deliberate choice. They didn't even realize they were doing it anymore. It works the same way on Facebook, on Instagram, with notifications on your phone. You start scrolling for a minute, and then a half an hour later, you don't know what happened to all your time. Even though you don't want to check your email all the time, if you have notifications, you might check it just because, oh, I got something. And again, you might think maybe it's something good. Usually it's not. But do you think that checking social media, email, checking every single notification on your phone, do you think that's a destructive habit or a life-giving one? I think we can all realize it would be a problem. It's just we often think we don't have that problem. But maybe we do in more ways than we think. Because we're being trained by these big tech companies in ways we can't even imagine. We become their disciples. And we don't even realize it. We are trained or discipled in many ways by a lot of things. And what I'm trying to point out today is that we need to be aware of it first in order to see how we can do anything about it. Discipleship sounds like a churchy word, and it is, but the concept is happening all the time. And that's okay if it's a conscious choice, like when you join a football team. You're being discipled by that football coach to do things the way that they want you to. However, in our society, we're being trained to do things that perhaps we really don't want to be doing at all. Sometimes these things are even against what we believe or what's written in the Bible, the discipleship that Jesus wants us to have. God makes it clear that we have a choice about this, though. It's not just something that happens. And he puts this in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him." Now you would say, why would anyone choose death? Why would anyone choose curses? But again, I think we do a lot. We think they're just little choices, that they don't matter in the end. God's saying they might matter more than you think that they do. And notice also, there's no middle ground. There's no neutral choice. And yet we sometimes think that there is. We think, well, I'm not going to choose life and death. I'm going to choose something in the middle. Or maybe I'm just not ready to choose anything yet. But we're always being trained. We become lukewarm Christians. We believe in Jesus. We just don't want to change anything about our lives to follow him. But God says that's not really how it works. Revelation chapter 3 says this. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That's not a very glowing endorsement of this idea of being a lukewarm Christian. I mean, I always found it interesting that God would rather you didn't believe in him at all than to say you're a believer, but not to really even act like it. You know, to say that you believe in him, but just to be lukewarm about the whole thing. God says, I want you as my disciple to be a follower of me, to truly seek after me, to truly want to give your life to me. Sure, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to still have sin in our lives, but that's very different from saying you want to do something, but just never living it out. There are many things we can do to be better disciples of Jesus. First, we can get prepared to share our faith with others. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. So, you know, sometimes people are going to ask you, maybe, why do you go to church? Why do you believe in Jesus? And it'd be good to have something to say instead of to try to come up with it on the spot. And you don't want a whole book form treatise here. I'm just saying a couple sentences saying what you believe, why you believe it. But there's more that we can do. We can learn the importance of serving God by devoting some of our time, our talents, our treasures through the church. By giving to the church, it reminds us of how much God has blessed us with, our abundance. By sharing our talents to serve others, we are encouraged that God gives all of us gifts that we can share. By serving, by maybe being a greeter at the church, or by reading scripture at worship, working in the sound booth, we're fulfilling God's command to love others even as we love ourselves. But again, what I'm trying to get at today is that it's not just what we do that matters. Sometimes it's what we choose not to do that can help us out to be good disciples as well. Have you ever been asked to be a part of something, maybe even an important ministry that you really want to participate in, but you simply can't because you don't have the time? When we say yes to everything, that means that we're eventually going to have to say no to something else, and that something else might actually be more important to us, really. It might be a priority. So before tackling every single task that seems important, God says, seek his guidance first about what we should do and what might be best to leave for someone else to do. My dad used to complain about this very type of problem. He was a vocal music teacher in high school. And he one time had this young man who loved to sing and wanted to be in the musical. And my dad wanted to give him the male lead in the musical. But then the kid said, you know, I just can't because I have to work. And my dad asked him, well, why do you have to work? And the guy said, well, because I need the money. Well, why do you need the money? My dad asked. Well, because I need to pay for my car. Well, why do you need the car? My dad asked. Because I have to get to work. It's just sort of it's a circular argument. That circular reasoning had kind of made this kid make a choice that he felt like he had to make when maybe he could not choose to do that, at least for a season. But I think that this predicament we all get in at times in our life. In the book of Philippians, St. Paul writes, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. When we focus so much of our time on earthly things, we can easily stop paying attention to the things that we say are more important to us, the heavenly things, the things that Jesus wants us to do, our priorities. But we forget about those priorities because we're so busy doing these earthly things. We become disciples of these earthly things rather than disciples of Jesus. God has recently been challenging me to consider how I'm spending my time outside of church, whether it reflects my priorities. And I'm asking you the same thing. You are spending an hour, maybe a little more than an hour, between drive time at worship today, and that's a really good thing. But if that's the only hour, the only time that you're spending with God in a week, well, that's not really good, because you probably spend a lot more time listening to other voices throughout the week, being trained in other ways throughout the week, whether they're good or bad. The thing is, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to be putting that time in throughout the week. And if you think, well, I just don't have the time, well, consider how often do you listen to a podcast, a news story? How often do you read other books instead of the Bible, for instance? These are just little things that we could do that would help us to be better disciples by giving up some of these other voices. I remember when the offering plate came around when Christy and I first got married, and I would go to church, and I remember the offering plate would come around. I would reach into my pocket or into my billfold, and whatever I found, I would give. And I prayed to God it wasn't a 20. I wanted a 5 or a 10 maybe at most. If I got a 20, I felt like that was a real sacrifice to put in the offering plate. And then we would go out to eat, and I'd spend 20 bucks on a Chinese restaurant. No big deal. It didn't seem that big issue at all. No sacrifice at all. Now, I would have told you that God was more important to me than Chinese food, but my actions reflected differently. The world had discipled me. It had taught me something, and that was that eating out was going to cost a lot of money, and God would take my leftovers. No problem. Jesus said something very different, though. He said, whoever does not give up everything they have cannot be my disciple. So we had to change our priorities. We didn't stop going to eat Chinese, but we did start giving more to the church. We started giving more to God because we wanted our priorities to be reflected in our actions. You are already a disciple, but whose disciple? What are you being trained to do in your life, and who do you serve in your daily life? And is that how you want to live your life? Because you have a choice. And then the final question is this what God wants for you? Are your priorities God's priorities? Are you following Jesus who promises to give you life? Or are your priorities, are the things you're doing, are they leading you down a path that might not be life-giving at all? If you're not following Jesus, if you're not being discipled by Jesus, what is God calling you to do differently from now on? Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to make your priorities our priorities, that you would help us to see what ways in our life that we're following the wrong people, the wrong things, and that instead you would help us to seek to follow you and to be discipled by you so that we can have a life worth living and we can stay away from things that would cause us curses and destruction. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.